us, the reading of the Scriptures, the prayer. Glad to see you here today, and certainly we're thankful to God that we have this privilege of worship and serving the Lord together. Molly Wilson is here today, and didn't get to speak to you Wednesday night, Molly, but I got your name right today, didn't I? All right. I've learned something from one of our elders. Well, as a matter of fact, I learned something from all three of them. And one of the things I've learned is get your little card and write down these things. And that'll kind of help you to remember it. I hope that I can remember everything I wanted to say. Steve Gooden is back with us today, and it's sure good to see Steve. And I guess it was Thursday we were here, and look at these beautiful flowers. And Faye Baker brought those in to put them up for us, and we're really thankful for that. All the wonderful things that people do for us here at O'Neill. Priscilla, bless your heart. I mean, Priscilla's precious. She's a precious lady. We love her dearly. And we're going to be praying. As a matter of fact, let's have another prayer for her right now. Would you bow your heads while we pray? Our loving Father, we thank you so much today that in this special prayer this morning we can pray for our sister Priscilla. We ask you to be with her. She undergoes the surgeries. And O Lord, our God, we pray that you'll be with Dusty and all the family. And we pray that everything will go well for Priscilla. We love her and we're thankful for her. And we pray, Father, that you, the great physician of all, can direct. And we just pray that everything will be well with her and her family. Bless all of our sick. Bless those that are bereaved. And Father, we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. So many wonderful things in life that we have. The other day, Ann and I went to the doctor. That's not a big experience, I guarantee you that. Most of us old people, we have all kinds of doctor's appointments. Sometimes I've heard people have at least maybe 5 or 6 a week. Almost every day there's a doctor's appointment. All of you who are younger, you got a lot to look forward to, I tell you that. But anyway, we got into the doctor's office, we got out, and I noticed still a little distance maybe from here over to the wall over there, there were about 3 or 4 men standing there, and there was another man that was walking down, and I couldn't see him very well, just the top of it, of his body. You know what they were doing? They just made him some new legs. And he was trying them out. Both legs. When I saw that, I couldn't help but thank God that I had legs to move. But this man had legs now, artificial legs. And he was trying them out. And I'll tell you what he had that I'll never forget as long as I live. He had the biggest smile on his face. How can individual friends who's lost so much in life, how can they be so happy, so thrilled? How about you and how about me? There is hope for everyone who will obey God. One of the things I want to get before you this morning, never give up. That man was not giving up. That man was determined. He was walking with those legs. Do you have hope of eternity with God forevermore? In the good reading of Connor this morning, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. There's one thing I've learned from the Scriptures, and that is, When we ask, do you know? Do you believe? Have you heard that God is not willing that a single person be lost? How do I know that? From what Scripture says. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing. God does not will that a single soul burn in hell. He wants everybody to be saved. He's not desirous of any person being lost, not willing that any should perish, but there is the connection that all should come to repentance. Preach the word, guy. Why? So somebody will hear it, believe it, and come to repentance and have that hope of living with God forevermore. The Bible says there's just one, not two or three or four, one hope. And that one hope is that you'll live with God forevermore. Did you know, and I want you to notice some of these scriptures in the Bible, that God has so much to tell us about hope. Did you know that you're saved by hope? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, for we are saved by hope. If you didn't have any hope, no salvation. You couldn't be saved, because we already know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We already know what we're going to have to pay for our sins if we don't get to the one who has paid that price for our sins. For the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6 verse 23. I want that part. Don't you? Surely. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all, everybody, should repent, come to repentance. That every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who's a sinner. Why? Because you can have it. That hope of being saved and not have to go to hell. He sets it before us. The Hebrew writer tells us that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. He can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And God has made this very clear. Notice what He says. He says, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. It's what? There it is, set before us. We can see it in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Why did He die? Why did He endure the cross? For the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the majesty of God. That's set before you. No man needs to live in this life without hope. No woman needs to live in this life without hope. No man or woman needs to die without hope. Why? It's said before you. You can have it. We're saved by it. Romans 8:24. It's said before us. And that's the thing that keeps us anchored down. That's the thing that God says to us will keep you anchored, being steadfast, and that you'll be doing His will always. Why? Because of the hope which we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. When you hold to Jesus, you look to Jesus, Romans 12:2. When you walk with Jesus and you see Him as being the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. John saw Him and John knew He was. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Peter And the other apostles were asked by Jesus, will you also go away in John 6, 68 and 69? And what does the Bible say that Peter said? Lord, to whom shall we go? And I ask you this morning, beloved friend and neighbor, if you don't have hope, it's not because God hadn't given it for you. It's not because it's not been set before you. It's not because it is an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast. It's because you refuse it. And you refuse Him who offers it. How can we turn away from the One who paid the price for sin and not let Jesus carry the load? Which He says, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. Do you know that we who have hope, that it's the anchor of the soul, it's sure and steadfast because of where it came. But one of the saddest things you read in the Bible is of people who have no hope. Not because they couldn't, but they have no hope. And they have not God. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, Paul said, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. What? Having no hope and without God in this world, and the majority of people are like that today. Why? When God wants everybody to be saved, when that hope has been made clear, when God sent His Son to make it possible that it can be the anchor that will hold you, and yet the majority of the people of this world are following the broad way. Enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Oh, I'm trying to get my family that are not members of the Lord's church, or families that have been unfaithful to God, I want them to turn back to the One that can give them hope. But I want everybody like that. But my friends, God does. And He wants you to be a companion, a fellow worker, a servant of the Lord. We're sending money to preachers and teachers and sending Bibles to those people who've never heard, who are lost over in the whale. We don't even know who they are, except for the fact that God tells us to send it. And we're trying to do what He tells us to do. To do what? To let the gospel of Christ be known. Who in the Bible had no hope? Or rather, who had hope, rather? I know one thing, Job really suffered a lot, and you do too. You study the man Job, you read in the Word of the Lord about Job, and you hear a statement, listen to it. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? Well, he had suffered so very much. What did he do after he lost it all? Turned to God and he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job is saying, I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to serve Him no matter what the condition of life is for me. I'm going to serve Him to the very end. And in all of this, Job did not sin. You hear David in 1 Samuel, or rather in Psalms 16, verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. David was a man that did all kinds of unspeakable things that are evil and bad. What did he do? He asked God to forgive him. Then what did he do? He held on to that hope. Because now, once you're forgiven, it's as if it never happened, because it's washed away. It's gone. And you can have that hope. Clinging to it. Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. The Bible says, Peter writes, and he says, and spared not that old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You know what righteousness does? In the book of Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. In Acts chapter 10:34 and 35, you remember how that Peter said to Cornelius, of a truth I perceive, God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. You remember the wise man in Ecclesiastes 12:13 and 14. Now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. Why? God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Fear God, keep his commandments, work righteousness. And here is Noah. He's talked of, spoken of, as a preacher of righteousness. I remember what Balaam said to Balak. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 10. Every time I read that and quote it, just about every time I remember Charlie Christopher. He would quote that from memory. Who can count the dust of Jacob? And the number of the fourth part of Israel, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. I've heard Charlie quote that so many times. To live in righteousness, Balaam knew there was hope. Not only did Balaam covet the death of the righteous, but he said, let my last end be like his. I stood at Charlie's grave yesterday, last week. I'm sure many of you have been thinking a lot about it. Did a lot of good for all of us. He's gone now from this earth. But there's one thing I want to do, is to live so someday I can see him again. And I want to tell you what, friend. That means that Guy McDaniel's got to live a righteous life. And that's where hope comes in. Yes, I suggest you Proverbs 14, verse 32. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Hope! It's both sure and steadfast. It's an anchor of the soul. We can die, and we can die with that hope because we know we're in Jesus Christ our Lord. In Proverbs 19, verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare, for his crying parents are told to chasten their children. Give them hope. In Proverbs 26, verse 12, seest thou a wise man in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Don't be that way, is what he's saying. I suggest you three or four things with reference to what's involved in our hope. Number one, I want to see him face to face. Face to face is a beautiful song, but it's also a beautiful scripture. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. You have hope. Why? Because God said you're going to be able to see Jesus. I'm going to be able to see Jesus, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, a man. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come. The Almighty, to see him face to face. Number two, to hear his voice. What will he sound like? You'll know. I'll know. When we see him face to face, eye to eye.
And then to hear that wonderful voice of Jesus. Marvel not at this, for the time or hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. Then they give you hope. No hope to see Him and then now to hear Him. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We shall hear the voice of Jesus, number 3. And we shall bow. Bow before the great I Am. You, young, old, we're going to bow. Bow before Him, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Romans 14, verse 11. And guess what? Then we're going to live with Him forevermore. Where is that hope? Paul writes in verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, never to have to leave Him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you have that hope this morning? Our past weights it down. But we can get rid of that. We can come and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you're baptized, the Bible tells us God, through Jesus Christ, will wash away your sins. You'll be added to the kingdom of God. Acts 2 and verse 47. The people on the day of Pentecost were told, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Our present. So many problems. You've got them. I do too. Worries, do we ever have them? Concerns, it's time for us to give them to the Lord. He's promised to take them, as it were, carrying them on His back. No wonder we find then in the future that there is something out there for every one of us that God wants everybody to experience, and that is to be saved with God forevermore. In the conclusion of the parable in Matthew chapter 25, in verse 46, these shall go away to everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Some say, you know, everybody's good. God says all have sinned. Romans 3:20. Some say there's no hell, so there's no need to be concerned. God says, fear Him whose power to throw you into hell, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear Him which, after He hath killed and hath power to cast into hell, yea, I say unto you, fear Him. And I want to suggest to you, my friends, some say heaven is not a real place anyway. Why are you people so concerned about heaven and hell? Because the Bible says, Jesus said He's gone to prepare a place for us. And we believe in Him. Some say there's no such thing as life after death. When you die, you just die like a dog. But God says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9, 27. Some say we can do nothing about the future. Whatever will be, will be. But God says you've got to be born again. That's something you have to do. To all those who received Him, that is Christ, He gave them the right to become the children of God. I ask you in conclusion this morning, what hope do you have? Are you steadfast? Are you unmovable? Are you faithful? Are you in or out of the church? Are you faithful sometimes and sometimes not? Listen, Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How do you look at yourself? How do you look to others? How do you look to God? What does the future really hold for me? The pessimist and the optimist. The pessimist says, look at the problems here. It's no wonder we don't grow. The one who is optimistic The fields are white to harvest. John 4:35. The pessimist, it's too difficult to be a Christian. There are just too many things that I can't do. But the optimist says, you know what? Heaven's too glorious to pass up. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There is hope for those who will turn to God, who depend upon Him as the Master who can solve all of our problems. Yes, Abraham was a great example. He trusted in God and obeyed God. Yes, I ask you this morning, do you have that anchor? Do you have that hope? If you die now, will you live forever? But if you live now and live another 50 years, isn't that wonderful? To have a hope that you can live with, that you can die. Start, therefore, on the road of righteousness by becoming a child of God. I love this passage and conclude with it this morning. O love the Lord, all ye the saints, His saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Jesus is inviting you to come to Him today. We're extending that glorious invitation to any and all. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If we can help you in any way, if you're not a Christian, obey the gospel and be baptized. If you're a Christian, you're not ready to go home. Make it right with God today while together we stand and while we